Hi, this is Guy Kawasaki. You're listening to Mr. Media, you poor slob.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Matthew McDonald, author of WordPress, The Missing Manual. That's right, it's another episode of Geek Talk. Stick around. What doesn't kill your site only makes you stronger. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of website coders with no sense of design, but without whom we'd be trading posts in nothing but zeros and ones in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I cannot tell a lie. Today's show is mainly intended for an audience of one. Me. Ever since I turned my back on Blogger in 2011 and finally embraced WordPress as the platform for the Mr. Media website, I've been eager to pick up tips and advice wherever and whenever I could. And that's why I've invited Matthew McDonald as today's guest. His new book, WordPress, The Missing Manual, is supercharged with easy-to-digest information that everyone from beginners to advanced users could benefit from reading. McDonald is a science and technology writer and the author of more than a dozen books, including Creating a Website, The Missing Manual, and HTML5, The Missing Manual. I'd work on that subtitle. I hope you'll find this conversation of interest, but either way, I'm barreling ahead. Matthew McDonald, welcome to Mr. Media.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you here. And let's get off to a really fast start with this. How about offering us some of your favorite pointers for using WordPress?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about WordPress is that it's pretty easy. It's easy to dive right in. I mean, you can end up really deep, maybe deeper than you want to eventually. But you know, if you're someone thinking about it, if you're thinking, hey, maybe I want to give this WordPress a try, but I'm not sure if it's too complicated for me, I would suggest, you know, you head right over to WordPress.com, sign up for a free WordPress account, a free site, just to get started. And, you know, then it pretty well flows from there. Of course, pick up my book.
And of course, definitely pick up the book. What about, I mean, for people who are, and I want to come back, I will come back in a little bit and talk about the difference between WordPress.com and WordPress.net and self-hosting, that kind of thing. But, I mean, if someone is using WordPress already, do you have some things that, you know, maybe they've missed, that things that you've noticed in talking to people that they don't obviously use all the time and that would make their lives easier?
Right. I mean, it sort of depends where you fall on the WordPress user hierarchy, I guess. But, I sort of think of it as in different levels. So the first level is once you're comfortable with, you know, using WordPress, putting up posts, managing comments, then you start to think about how do you get the theme that you want. And then once you get to that point, so you have a pretty good theme, you can branch out to the little sort of customization things that you can do to make your site that much more suited, more, you know, personal to you. So you can start looking at how you can, it may be something simple, just changing, you know, replacing the standard fonts with, you know, Google Web Fonts, for example, has all kinds of rich fonts that you can stick in a website. So you can give your site an identity by picking one of these unusual fonts and putting that at the title. And all of a sudden you've taken a theme that might be used by, you know, dozens or hundreds of other blogs on the web because WordPress is, you know, very popular, and you're starting to make it more your own. So I guess that's the second level. And then as you get more advanced, then you start looking at things probably like plugins. So you start thinking about Maybe you're a social media kingpin. You want your, you know, your Twitter stream there alongside your posts. And there's probably a plugin and a widget that you could just throw in your site for that. You know, you start thinking about things like how do you, the whole topic of search engine optimization, how do I get people to come and stick around and really interested? You know, how do I ensure that even as my site's growing, it stays faster? And usually plugins are the route to a lot of other features that you can just bolt on top of WordPress.
So coming back to the first part of what you said, you were talking about kind of mixing and matching themes and fonts. And by doing so, I mean, it seems like there's endless variety. There's opportunity for anyone to make their site look different than everyone else's site.
Sure. And that's one of the things that really works in WordPress's favor. You can start out with a really slick-looking theme that you've just taken off the shelf for free, and you can use that for your website, and then you can be completely happy with that. You could stop there, or you could use that as a jumping off point and continue to customize it. And those customizations can be simple. You know, you can go back into the WordPress dashboard and you can start fiddling with some of its settings to change things like the background picture, the colors, basic customization. Or you can get right down to the style rules and the CSS that underpins your site. And if you're comfortable with those sort of standards, you can start editing. And even if you're not, you don't feel that comfortable. Maybe you know that, you know the idea of style sheets. You know that that's how websites look pretty, but you don't feel that you're really comfortable just hacking out all these style rules. Very often you can Google your way to some brilliant bit of logic that you can just, take from a website, paste into your own WordPress style sheet, and, this whole community around WordPress is getting you closer to what you want.
Hmm. You mentioned plugins and the widgets, and there's so much for – I was amazed, having been on Blogger for years – the vast difference between the two. There's some things that are very similar, but Blogger seems to be very basic, and SEO is no. It's strange. Maybe I never quite understood it, but all those years on Blogger, being completely disconnected from SEO, and considering that Blogger was owned by Google, I thought there was this massive disconnect. Is WordPress? I certainly think so. But is WordPress, the platform to go with these days? Is it really head and shoulders above pretty much everything else out there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely if you're looking at a blog, I mean, there's really nothing else I think you'd want to consider. If you're looking at any other kind of, sort of a content heavy site, like a site like Mr. Media, where you're putting up videos, a site where you're doing recipe reviews or movie reviews, or there's one example in the book where I look at someone's the academic department at a university is using it to build a whole encyclopedia of scholarly articles on philosophical topics. All of these sort of sites where you have to arrange different bits of content together. I mean, WordPress is just so easy and comfortable for that. It's wildly successful. I think that something like one out of every five new sites is a WordPress site. It's just, staggering. Now, if you're building, an e-commerce site, you're trying to make the next Amazon.com or something like that, if you need something really huge, WordPress can do that, but it might not be the best fit. So then that's when you have to think a little bit more about, do you want to go the build-it-yourself route? Do you have a team of programmers, that will descend like ninjas and solve your problems, or are you going to go the WordPress route, which is going to be a lot more easy and manageable, and if it does everything you need, you'll be happy.
You could probably start with WordPress as an entry-level e-commerce site. You could start with that, and you could grow into something that requires a geek team, basically.
Sure. And there's no clear dividing line, but say you're someone and you're you know you've got a small business, maybe you're it's a business where you're selling things you make yourself, I don't know, handcrafted pieces of jewelry or something like that. This is a very natural fit for WordPress, and you'll find plugins that will help you have things like shopping carts and PayPal, and you'll just that you know a checkout process, and you can just throw that together in an afternoon. You know, if you're a giant company and you have a database that tracks your, you know, what's in your warehouse and you need to coordinate someone order something and how do they put the items in the box and you know, all that's you've got this whole ordering pipeline, then, you know, you're probably getting someone to build something for you.
All right, well, let's back it down a little bit. What are some of the common mistakes that a newbie makes with WordPress that frustrates them and that could be avoided, do you think?
Yeah, I think that, well, one bit of advice that I usually give people starting out is, you know, there's this whole question of whether you should start with a free WordPress.com or whether you should go to your own website and put the WordPress software there. And WordPress.com is a great starting point, but if you do that, don't just take the free WordPress.com address. You know, pay the extra $20 a year to get your own domain and use that, because that will give you the flexibility to move on later. Hmm. You know, whether you want to put WordPress on your own site later, probably, or even if you wanted to you know, change to something completely different. So that's a mistake. I think that if you start off and you get, you know, tied to that service, then you want more of the power of the self-hosted WordPress, you could be a little bit stuck.
I think that's an excellent, excellent point because, like I after I started using WordPress on a self-hosted site, I tried messing around for my brother who's got a disc jockey company on WordPress.com. I wanted to just kind of play with it, and then it occurred to me that it was not going to be easy to move it from whatever the domain that they assign over to his own, and also the program is different. WordPress.com, sure. WordPress.net. So maybe this is a good point for me to ask you about that. I mean, and that was something that kept me away from WordPress for a while because I didn't understand until I really invested the time in what was the difference between WordPress.com and self-hosting using the software, the platform from WordPress.net. So maybe I could get you to take a minute. Maybe we can save someone else the frustration that I went through in trying to understand that.
Yeah, so it's a point of confusion for a lot of people. So essentially, WordPress is this great piece of software that can run your website. Mm-hmm. You can take that piece of software and, you know, assuming you have a web hosting account somewhere, you can put it on your website. And it doesn't have to be, doesn't mean your website has to be only WordPress. You know, you could have a normal section and WordPress section, or maybe you just want to add a blog to an existing website. Or WordPress can run the whole thing. But either way, the idea here is you're self-hosting it, which is just a fancy way of saying you're taking that WordPress software and putting it on your web host. And, of course, that means that, you know, you're paying your web host a monthly fee, you know, whatever that is, $5, $10 a month, more. And the WordPress software itself is free. Now, the other option is if you don't have a web host, or, you know, you're a little bit reluctant to start installing things and fiddling with that, even though it's a relatively easy process. But you want a really gentle approach that has no requirements at all. You can go to the WordPress.com site, and what they do there is they run the WordPress software, and they will give you a domain, okay, so a web address. It'll have WordPress.com tacked on to the end. So you know, if you went to it, you'd probably get something like mrmedia.wordpress.com, which is not quite as, it doesn't come ring quite as nicely.
Right.
But, you know, it's all free, and then you work, you can use that. There are some limitations. You don't get as many themes to choose from. You can't use plugins. But there's always a possibility that if you discover you really love this, you can then make the jump to web hosting. So you can, you know, sign up for a web host and migrate your site over. It's a little bit of a pain, but assuming you've bought your domain name at the very beginning, this is all sounding a little bit complicated. This, you know, this that process is explained in the book if someone's curious. You can switch over.
And one of the things that's different between the two, and this was another point of contention for me, is advertising. Very stringent controls on what you can do place in terms of advertising on a WordPress.com site versus your own self-hosted site where you can do pretty much whatever you like.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so on WordPress.com, you can't show advertisements. Like, you can't have a little ad box in the side, and that's, you know, a great way to potentially make a few extra bucks here and there. Now they're sort of looking at relaxing that requirement. So they do have a pilot program right now where you can sign up for it and they'll let you run a very limited type of ad. And they have to accept you into the program and so on and so forth. And people are thinking that they may make it a little bit easier in the future for you to have ads on a WordPress.com site. But yeah, so that is one of the things that's restricted.
And it's fine if you're just doing it as a blog and you just want to talk about, you know, as the joke goes, what you had for lunch today. You probably don't, you're not concerned with advertising. But if you want to run a business on it, you really want to do it the way you want to do it. So that would, I mean, to me, that would be the reason to go with the self-hosted, right? I mean, if you
right. And they have some other rules about how you can and can't make money. So it's okay for you to promote your products on WordPress.com, but you know, you can't just fill your site with a whole bunch of affiliate links. You're just trying to make money by getting people to click on them to go to Amazon and other sites. So, yeah, they're trying to, I guess, cut down on the ways that people might just create a whole bunch of spam blogs. So it's you can understand where they're coming from, but, yeah, it restricts your ability to make a business.
And for someone who is currently on WordPress.com, explain a little bit what they're missing in terms of, you know, what the plugins do, what the opportunity is there with plugins if you're on a self-hosted site.
Yeah, so plugins is the all-purpose way that you get more features in WordPress. So whether, you know, you want to throw in a new feature like a little Facebook like box on the side, or whether you want to perhaps change something about the way your site is seen by search engines like Google. You know, you want to add a feature maybe like a subscription newsletter. All these things work through plugins. Now, the WordPress.com restrictions aren't quite as bad as they seem, because WordPress tries to find out what are the most useful plugins, and it sort of comes with some pre-installed. So, you know, feature, there is some basic Twitter and Facebook integration, which doesn't come with the normal WordPress, just because in WordPress.com, those plugins are already installed because they're just so useful for the community. You know, but if you want something a little bit less common, you can't have that. And another really big limitation is you can't really tweak your theme in any way. You can't get right in there and change your theme file. And in WordPress, the theme files are what sort of sets the structure and the appearance of your whole site. And editing theme files is one thing that you sort of want to do if you want to make your site look less like a blog and more like some other type of site, you know, whether it's a business site or an online magazine or something like that. A lot of those customizations work by opening up the theme files and changing things.
Well, all right, so let's talk about the plugins a little bit more. Do you have some favorite plugins that you'd like to turn people onto and suggest that they give a try?
Yeah, so in the book, when we talk about plugins, there's a whole great sort of process I recommend for evaluating them. So whatever plugin you take, you want to not just go on someone's recommendations because they change so quickly. The plugin that's really hot today might get abandoned, you know, in 6 months or a year, just because plugins are usually created by the community when a developer finds a job that he needs to solve, a problem he needs to attack. He might create a perfect plugin for it, and then that might be great then, but it might not be the same in the future. But just basically, probably one of the most useful would be something for mobile viewing. So if you want your site to look nice on a smartphone, you can throw in a plugin like WP Touch, and you know, right away people will be able to browse your site on their phones. You can customize some things about how the menus will appear. They won't have to do all that, you know, pinching and zooming to get to really take a look at it. So that's, I mean, if you've ever tried to make a mobile version of a site, you know, if you've worked doing normal traditional web development, being able to just throw that in and have it work, it's, you know, it's amazing. And then another thing you might want to look at is WordPress has many, many plugins for backup. So you want to have a good backup strategy, and there's a lot of different ways to attack that problem. But a plugin can often help you out. It can do something like automatically backing up your site and emailing you periodically the you know, sort of the compressed files there, so that, you know, if something happens, your web host goes out of business, or, you know, spammers attack your site, you still have that. Other things people think about a lot of the time are ways to get, you know, for comments. If people want to log in with their Facebook identities or their Twitter identities, they want to come over to your blog and leave a post under that identity. So instead of having to put in all their email their address, their name, and all the personal information, they can just log in through Facebook or through Twitter. Really, really great features. There's lots of plugins that do that. And one way to quickly just solve that problem is with the Jetpack plugin. It's a plugin that's actually created by Automattic, the same company that runs WordPress.com. And it tries to sort of bundle together a lot of the plugins that come with WordPress.com, including these really nifty Facebook and Twitter ones. So yeah, that's a lot of plugins to throw at you, but just
that's what we have you here for. That's, we want that expertise from you. Let me ask you this: is there such a thing as putting too many plugins or widgets into a WordPress site? And when do you know when you've gone too far?
Yeah, so you have to that. You're, I mean, you're right on. You have to really think about that, because as you add more plugins, there's a risk that they might conflict, so one might break the other one. There's more plugins you just have to maintain. You have to, you know, make sure they're updated regularly. Possibly if there's a security problem with one of them, you need to make sure you update it as quickly as possible. And if you have 10 plugins, that's 10 plugins you have to keep watching. And it's also possible, especially if you're installing really complicated plugins that do a lot of stuff, like a search engine optimization plugin, that, you know, you install a couple of those and it might start to slow down your website, which is obviously not what you want. Mm-hmm. So I have in the book sort of a checklist of things that, you know, test that you want to satisfy before you go with the plugin. And you want to keep it to a handful of plugins, I would say. You know, some plugins are a lot heavier. If you're adding a search engine optimization plugin, that can have the potential for slowing down your site, whereas a lot of plugins are just small and you can have dozens of them. But, yeah, I mean, the one good bit of advice is don't be afraid to install a plugin, try it out. But then if you decide that, you know, it's not really adding anything, you want something different, you solve the problem another way, you know, just uninstall that plugin.
Good, good. All right, well, let's change gears a little bit. While we have you, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you do and how you do it. I mean, I write books for a living. You probably don't know this, but the kind of stuff that you do scares me. I mean, the missing manuals, or the books, the people who do the dummies books or the idiots books. I mean, how do you gain the confidence to kind of write the authoritative manual on topics as broad and intricate as whether it's WordPress or HTML5. I mean, it just seems to me that the topic is so vast, and once you put that book out there with your name on it, now you're an authority, and you damn well better have gotten it right.
Well, I mean, I am congenitally a nerd, so I do love learning this sort of thing. But really, the job with the book isn't as much... you know, 'cause I wrote a book about sort of the brain, and people say, well, how can you know all this stuff about the brain? You know, how are you a neuroscientist? You know, the job is not so much knowing everything and learning everything and being the expert, but finding out what someone else needs to know to be successful. So, you know, if it's a case of WordPress, what's the first question someone has when they're approaching? What sort of strategy do they need to set down, and how do you guide them through the problems that will appear early and then later? And, you know, and in any book, like A Missing Manual, you don't get the chance as an author to just say every single thing you know. And that, you know, that can be a bit frustrating, but the job is not to create that authoritative resource, because Google's out there for the people who have, you know, the strange problems and little questions that you can't cover. Just to, the job is more to guide them through that whole process, so at the end they feel that they're pretty comfortable with WordPress, and you know, they've learned something and they're comfortable to take the mantle over and start teaching themselves.
So how much did you need to know before starting this book, for example, and how much did you discover on the job?
Well, before I started this book, like pretty typical of most of my books, I felt like I knew everything about WordPress. Then I discovered that, you know, when you have the excuse to just sort of explore a lot of these topics, that some of the topics are ones that aren't, you know, I wouldn't probably spend hours looking at Facebook integration because I don't really use that in my website. But once you look into all these topics, you discover all kinds of things. And the WordPress community is fantastic, whether it's for educating me or for educating other people who are using it. They can help you out with a lot of questions. And, you know, so by the end of that, asking questions and you know, reading other sources, I probably learned more than I thought I knew at the beginning.
Fair enough. And do the folks at WordPress cooperate with you? Do they know what you're doing while you're doing it? You know, do they? And if so, do they say, "Hey, you're off track here"? Or
yeah, so there's no they don't officially look at anything. I have done books where I've been sort of closer collaboration for, you know, a product that has been released with Microsoft. But in WordPress, it's a more open, sort of chaotic community atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people who can help you if you catch them at the right time with the right question. But there's you know, not really a formal review process or non-disclosure rules and all that sort of stuff that you might find in other technology companies.
So they know you're out there doing what you're doing, but they're not... They're neither approving it or disapproving
right.
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. And probably it's the kind of thing, I would guess, where they're grateful to have it themselves because it gives them a reference tool.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what makes the people who build these things excited when they see that other people are using them. And so, you know, it's a compliment to have, well, even if it was a shoddily written book, it might cause them some pain. But yeah, they're just happy to see the community grow.
And the other thing I was thinking is that the platform like WordPress evolves so rapidly that this could updating and revising a book like this could keep you in business for a couple of years to come.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges with any web-based thing, that you know, WordPress is continually rolling out updates. It's not quite like Windows where there's a version 7 and there's a version 8. And between those two versions, there's an ocean of, you know, a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, but luckily, even though there's these frequent versions, they don't usually change anything really dramatic. And once you know the basics about how WordPress works, you'll probably be pretty comfortable, you know, for the versions to come. But yeah, definitely we'll be updating it. I don't even know if we'll make it, you know, a year before we go do an update.
Yeah, I could see that. And how long did it actually take to write this edition of the book, the first edition of the book?
Oh, I'm not sure, because it goes through so many stages. I mean, the actual writing of it probably just takes a couple of months, but, you know, by the whole review process, you know, we work with other technical reviewers, some who are WordPress gurus who can tell us, you know, all the little suggestions and little things that might be missing, and others who are complete novices who try to tell us if we're being clear and if it's helping them. We work with all these people. We work with, you know, artist and that sort of thing too, to draw diagrams. And so, yeah, it's the better part of a year.
It takes a while. And I guess the last question is, what's next? What are you tackling next?
I'm actually going over to the Microsoft world to look at Office 2013. I have a couple of books where I talk about Excel and Access, and so I have to update those for the next version. But I don't know if that'll be as exciting as WordPress, though.
Probably not. Probably not. Well, folks, listen, you can find WordPress, The Missing Manual by Matthew McDonald, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And if you're watching the show on video, if you look down here at the bottom of the screen, you'll see a picture of the book cover. You can just click on it and buy it. It's that easy. The books are sold by Amazon. You don't have to trust me to get it to you. Amazon will take care of it. Matthew, do you have a website? Are you on Twitter, Facebook, things like that?
People can find me at prosetech, prosetech.com.
Very good. And do you do Twitter or Facebook as well?
I'm trying to keep my regular life free of all these others. But, yeah, I think eventually I'll have to get drawn into that.
Trying to avoid what I think they called in Star Wars Imperial Entanglements. All right. Well, Matthew, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. I learned a little more. I learned a lot more not on top of the book, but I mean, learned a lot reading the book, and really appreciate it. Really recommend it to anybody at any level who's using WordPress. It's really nice to have that book on your desk that you can refer to while you're setting up a site or you're troubleshooting the site, or you're just looking to add some things to the site that you don't already have and or maybe didn't understand how to do. So it's a real good piece of work, and thank you so much for being with us on Mr. Media today.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com, or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJs, the party authority for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJs or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout.